Greetings, everyone. We want to give you a huge welcome today to Revival Radio. We're an outreach of Revival Christian Fellowship located here in Southern California. And today, Pastor John Miller continues our series in the book of Ruth called The Romance of Redemption. Ruth, once living in the cursed land of Moab, now by faith finds herself in favor and blessed by the Lord. In chapter 3, Naomi instructs Ruth to go down to the threshing floor to approach Boaz to accept the role of the kinsman redeemer. He replies, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." Boaz was a godly man and was flattered at Ruth's request. Let's listen now as Pastor John tells this beautiful story of love and redemption in today's message called Finding Rest.
The Bible in Ephesians 5:18 commands Christians to be filled with the Spirit. That is an imperative or a command. That is in the plural, so it's all inclusive, all Christians. And it's in the present voice. That means everybody, all Christians, all the time, need to constantly be filled. And by the way, I know I've taught on this before, but that command in Ephesians 5:18 is in what's called the passive voice. That means let the Spirit fill you. You can't fill yourself. So it comes by surrender. So you say, Lord, wash me in your word. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to seek you. And you realize that you can't live the Christian life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then notice thirdly that she is to put her raiment off and put on a new piece of clothing or new garment. Put thy raiment upon thee. It's kind of a biblical way of saying put on your nicest clothes. Now in those days, again, clothes were limited. That you couldn't, you just think about it today. You can go to the mall, you can go to the, you know, discount outlet, you can get online, all the online, you can get clothes. Craziness. I would think that most of us do have clothes that we could get rid of. I mean, you got stuff you haven't worn in 20 years. Think about how many pieces of garment we have, clothes that we have. So put on your nice dress. In the Bible, the scriptures talk about us being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And there's in Colossians and Romans, there's some clear analogies there of the believing life that when you put off sins of the flesh, the Greek words that are used for that literally mean as you would take off a piece of soiled clothing. If you go to work and your clothes get soiled and dirty, you take them off. You throw them in the clothes hamper. My wife's always getting on me because I don't throw stuff in the hamper. See that little basket? That's called the clothes hamper. When you get dirty clothes, you throw them in. I thought you're just supposed to pile them on top of the closet. And, you know, that kind of a thing. Some of you are looking at me like, you're a sad man. You're going to pray for my wife, right? So you take off soiled clothes, and then what do? You put on clean clothes. That's the Christian life. We take off the old life, the garments of the flesh, the way we used to live, the way we used to think, the pursuits we used to have, and you put on new grace garments. We take off the grave clothes of the flesh, and we put on the grace clothes of the new life. Remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead? That's a picture of regeneration. But when he came out of the tomb, he was still bound with what? Grave cloths. You know, there are a lot of Christians walking around in grave cloths. They're alive. They've come out of the grave, but they're still walking in the sins of their old life. So we need to put off the old and put on the new, amen? And be created in the image of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to seek the Lord as Ruth was going to seek Boaz, we need a bath, We need an anointing, and we need a change of clothes. And then I like it. She's to go and lay down at his feet, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And then verse 5, she said unto her, that is, Ruth said unto Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And here's my third point. If you're going to seek the Lord, you need to obey the Lord. Not being just hearers of the word only, you need to be a doer of the word, and you'll be blessed in all of your ways. So it's great to come to Bible study Wednesday night. It's great to read your Bible during the week. But if you only hear the word and you don't do the word, it will profit you nothing. It's like looking at yourself in the mirror and you see that you need to give a little attention to your appearance, but you just turn and walk away and you forget what manner of person you are. But when you read the word and you obey the word, it's like staying in front of the mirror. And God transformed you into the image of Jesus Christ. So here it is. Wash, anoint, change, and obey if we're going to seek the Lord and find rest. Here's the second thing we need to do. We need to submit to Him. Verses 6 to 9. We need to submit to Him. Follow with me, verse 6. And so she went down into the floor, that threshing floor that I described, and she did according to all that her mother-in-law had bidden her. And when Boaz had eaten and drank, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. So they said they would spend the night there sleeping on their corn, lest thieves come and steal it. And so she came softly, and she uncovered his feet, and she laid her down. And it came to pass that at midnight, so it was the darkness of night, that the man was afraid. And he turned himself and said, behold, a woman lie at his feet. And he said unto her, who art thou? You couldn't see who it was. And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Interesting, she drops the Moabitess title. I'm just Ruth now, thy handmaid. For thou art near, spread thy skirt therefore over thine handmaid, for thou art near of kinsmen. So Ruth goes down to the threshing floor. Boaz is partying with the boys, and harvest time was a time of joy. And they would bring in the grain, it was celebration, it was a fun time. And then after the party's over, he lays down, he goes to sleep. And as her mother-in-law had instructed her, she comes and she lays at his feet. Now, don't in any way think or see that there's anything inappropriate about what Ruth is doing. In the time and the custom, what she was doing was perfectly appropriate. And it's interesting, in that time, parents made arrangements for their children to get married. Marriage was by parental arrangement. All the parents say, amen. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could do that? Okay, that's the one there. Get that one over there. Go get that one over there. Done deal, you know. Instead, your daughter brings the guy home. Ah! Where'd you find that dude? I just beat in the bushes. I found him. He looks like he's been beat out of a bush. I got three married daughters. I know what it's like to, you know, fight the guys off and answer the door with a shotgun and all that kind of stuff. So Naomi's making the arrangement. She's orchestrating this thing. And it's interesting because in a way, and it was part of their culture, that you could do this with the Goel, the Kinsman Redeemer. Ruth is actually asking Boaz to marry her and to redeem her. And it's a beautiful picture of our redemption by our Lord Jesus Christ. The word feet, by the way, is mentioned about four times in this text. It's mentioned in verse 4. It's mentioned in verse 7. It's mentioned in verse 8. And it's mentioned again, the word feet is mentioned in verse 14. So here we have the submission. We see Ruth at his feet. She submitted to Boaz. And so we need to seek the Lord, and secondly, we need to submit to the Lord. There's nothing more important for you as a Christian, if you're going to find rest in Jesus Christ, than to actually submit yourself to Him, to say, Lord, I submit to You. I'll go where You want me to go. I'll do what You want me to be. Do. I'll be what You want me to be. I submit to You and submit to His authority over your life. So she asked Him to spread your skirt over your handmaid. That's an expression meaning, marry me, redeem the property of my husband, and take me to be your wife. So this took faith and courage on Ruth's part, but she was submitted and committed to the Lord. So are you seeking Him? Number two, are you submitted to Him? Ask yourself tonight, be honest with your own heart and say, am I completely submitted to God's will for my life? Am I completely submitted to what God's will is for my life? The third thing we need to do is listen to Him. Verse 10 to 14, listen to Him. It says that she said, or he said, excuse me. Now, in this section, verse 10 to 14, Boaz talks to Ruth. And it's interesting that as he talks to her, they're on the threshing floor, it's midnight, pitch black, and they can't see each other. It's like he wakes up, who's there? It's Ruth, your handmaid. Spread your skirt over me. Like, oh, you scared me. It's interesting that he woke up and found her there wanting to get married. I think of Adam who took a nap and found out he was married when he woke up. Interesting. And so now he speaks to her. We need to seek Him, submit to Him, and listen to Him. Notice, in the darkness of night, Boaz begins to speak. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, blessed be thou of Jehovah, my daughter. He calls her this endearing term, my daughter. Scripture indicates, we're going to see this, that Boaz was an older man and that Ruth was quite younger than he. For thou hast showed more kindness in thy latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not the young men, whether poor or rich. Now, Boaz is a bachelor, but he is an older bachelor, and he's really blessed that this young Ruth would take notice of him. And he's like, bless you, my dear. Yeah, you could have gone off with any of the young guys in their Ferraris or Porsches, you know. You could have taken any of these young guys and that you've taken note of me. And now, my daughter, verse 11, don't be afraid. I will do thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people know that you are a virtuous woman. She was a Proverbs 31 woman. And now it is true that I am near of kinsman, verse 12. However, there is a kinsman or a relative that is nearer than I. So he speaks truth to her. He doesn't want her to get too excited. There is someone that's nearer of kin than I who has the first right of redemption. So he tells her, verse 13, stay the night, tarry the night, and it shall be in the morning that if he that is nearer kin will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, then okay or well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lie at his feet until the morning, and she arose before they could know one another. And he said, let it be not known that a woman has come unto the floor. Now, as I said, it's the darkness of night, and Boaz wakes up in a startle. There's Ruth at his feet. And he finds out that it's Ruth, and she asks him to cover her. So she's asking him to redeem her husband's land and to marry her. Now, as I said, I'm saving the real main lesson of the book of Ruth till chapter 4. But let me just touch on this again so you're not lost. A near kinsman could redeem a relative's property that had been lost or forfeited because of poverty. It would be like today if you had a brother who had a house and couldn't pay their mortgage and it was foreclosed on. You could go in and take over their mortgage. You could buy their property and then it would be kept in the family so that the family wouldn't lose their property. And every 7 years, if you lost land or a farm because you were poor and you had to sell it to take care of yourself, every seventh year, the nearest closest relative could buy it back. It could be redeemed. This is where the idea of Redeemer, and then the dual concept of Kinsman Redeemer. Now, as we get into it next study in chapter 4, Jesus Christ is, in His redemptive work of saving the world, He is a Goel, a Kinsman Redeemer. How's that? Adam and Eve, created by God to have dominion over the earth, forfeited that in sin. And the earth was turned over to Satan. Jesus came to buy back not only us, but the earth, to redeem the earth. Do you know that the idea that Jesus came to save the world literally means He came to save the actual literal world? And everybody's talking about global warming and all this stuff, and we need to save the only planet we have. It ain't going to happen until Jesus comes back. And He's going to come and restore the earth to its rightful place. Now, before He takes the earth, though, He'll take His bride. In the Old Testament, the Goel, the Kinsman Redeemer, if you bought your brother's property or your relative's property, if he had a wife and you died, and they had to forfeit their property, guess what you had to do as well? You had to marry his wife. And you had to have children with his wife so that your brother's seed could continue. Now, we don't have that law anymore, and I'm kind of glad that we don't do it that way. Because you'd be praying, dude, marry a nice-looking girl, because if you kick the bucket, I got to marry her. Forgive me, I've always thought about that, man. You pray your brother, your relatives all had good taste because you're stuck like marrying her. You're going to see in a minute the one that was near of kin doesn't. He goes, I'm married, man. I can't marry her. You can do it. And Boaz is like, fine, I'll be glad to do that. And Boaz wasn't really so interested in the land. He was interested in the bride. But when Jesus came to redeem the earth, guess what he got out of the deal? He got a bride. Guess who the bride is? You and I. It's the church. You are his bride. And he gave his life, he died on the cross, so that he could redeem us and take out of the earth his Ruth, his bride, the church, which is the bride of Christ. But I want to make some points here about how God speaks to us in sometimes even the dark of night. So just as Boaz began to speak to Ruth, God speaks to us primarily how? Through His Word. God speaks through what He's spoken. The Bible is the Word of God. It is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God speaks through His Word. When you read your Bible, you're hearing God speak. And we need to listen to the voice of God. Now, when God speaks to us through His Word, it many times parallels what's happening here with Boaz's speech to Ruth. Number one, he accepts her. He accepts her. He says, "Blessed art thou, my daughter. Thou hast showed me more kindness," verse 10, "than in the latter end of the beginning, inasmuch as you didn't follow the young men, whether rich or poor." So when we read the Bible, we find out we're accepted by God in the beloved Christ. That our acceptance before God is in Jesus Christ. And He speaks to our own hearts that we belong to Him and we're accepted in Him. And then secondly, when He spoke to her, He assures her. Verse 11 to 13, He first says, "Don't be afraid." Don't you love that when you read the Bible and God speaks to your heart and He says, "Don't be afraid. Fear not," all through the Scriptures. "I will do thee all that thou requirest, for all the city knows, my people know, that thou art a virtuous woman. And it is true, I am thy near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman that is nearer than I. Tarry this night until the morning, and if he will perform it to thee, the part of the kinsman, well, and if not, I will perform it." So he speaks assurance, and he speaks acceptance. I will do my part. Ruth could not see his face, but she could hear his voice. And many times we are in the darkness and we can't see his face. I talk to Christians all the time. They go, "You know, I don't feel God. I don't hear God. I don't sense God. God's not speaking to me." And I'm thinking, are you not reading your Bible? I read a quote years ago I've never forgotten. It's by a man by the name of V. Raymond Edmond. And he says, never doubt in the dark what God has spoken in the light. So when you can't see His face and you're living in darkness, open your Bible, let God speak, and don't doubt what God is saying in His Word. He assures you, you're mine. He assures you, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. And never doubt in the dark what God has spoken in the light. When you can't see Him, you can still hear Him as He speaks to you. And He says to you, verse 11, don't be afraid. And then He makes her a promise, verse 13, I will do my part of the kinsman. As the Lord liveth, lie down until morning. He makes us a promise. What does God do to us through His Word? He promises us. You know, the Bible is full of promises. They're called exceeding great and precious promises. And by these we become partakers of the divine nature. So you believe and stand on His promise. And then, I love it, verse 14, she lay down at His feet until the morning. She found rest. So she was seeking Him. She was submitted to Him. And she was listening to Him. We need to do the same in our relationship to Jesus Christ. And we need to rest in Him. And then we see in verse 15 to verse 17, fourthly, that she received from Him. He gave her a gift. Notice verse 15. He said unto her, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it out. And when she held it, He measured 6 measures of barley, and He lay it on her, and she went into the city. And it came to pass that when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou? That is Naomi speaking to Ruth, who are you, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done unto her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Now, before she leaves the threshing floor early in the morning, and she gets up before light, and she starts to make her way, and Boaz says, Ruth, wait just a moment. Hold out your robe. And she holds out her robe, and he lays it on her. My King James Bible actually says he lays it on her. I love that. He was so excited. He couldn't contain himself, so he gave her this gift. And it's interesting that when he gave her the first gift back in chapter 2, verse 17, that he gave her, look at it, chapter 2, verse 17, that he measured out to her what was an ephah of barley, or it would be about a bushel, or some say a half a bushel of barley, which would last for about a week for the two women. This time, it says that he measured out 6 measures of barley. So he more than doubles it. It's like, man, I'm so excited. And he laid it on her, and he gave her this gift. And she goes home, and Naomi says, and it puzzles people, the translation in the King James Bible, who art thou? Why would Naomi say to Ruth, who are you? It's a problem of rendering the Hebrew phrase into the English. And some translations actually have, how did it go? Or are you his wife? So what she's actually saying, and it's not that it's a bad translation in the King James Bible, who are you? She's actually saying, by saying, who are you? She's saying, who are you? Are you his wife? Are you engaged? Are you going to get married?
Boaz, he tells Ruth, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Boaz assures her and tells her, don't be afraid. And in the morning, Boaz will present the opportunity of kinsman redeemer to the nearer relative. And Naomi tells Ruth that Boaz will not rest until he has concluded the matter. So, our love story continues, and we do hope you can join us next time as Pastor John teaches on redemption. So this month, we have something very special going on. If you've been listening for a while, you know that every now and then, we like to offer resources, and we do that free of charge because it's part of our ministry to you. So this month, we're offering a free copy of the book, Does Inerrancy Matter? Now, this book, written by James Boyce, is a classic, and it establishes why we believe all Scripture is true and without fault or error. So, give us a call at 866-973-8482. Simply leave your name and your address, and we're going to mail your copy right away. Once again, the number is 866-973-8482. Well, everyone, that concludes our program for today. Thank you so much for spending your time with us here. And we trust that it's a blessing in your life, and we hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, may each of us continue to preach the Word, be ready in season, and be watchful in all things, fulfilling the ministry of God's kingdom. God bless.